We're going to get into the Word for a little while here and then have the Lord's Supper tonight. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Tonight I want to talk about three great divine connections that we can have. The first one is universal. The second and third are optional. And I want to talk about these three great divine connections this evening. Let's begin by reading Psalm 139, not the whole thing, but, most of it, verses 1 through 18. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. And art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. I want you to notice, number one tonight, life connects us to the omnipresence of God. Life connects us to the omnipresence of God. This is the first of three great divine connections, and it speaks of omnipresence. Now, the word omnipresence means that God is all present. That God is everywhere. This begins at conception. It does not begin at what the world calls life or the day we're born, our birthday. Actually, your birthday was actually 9 months before when you were conceived, when the seed met the egg in your mother's womb. And upon conception, we began then a divine connection with God for all of eternity called omnipresence. There is not a moment since you were conceived that you have ever been separated from the presence of God. Now that can be a wonderful, wonderful thought, or that can be an extremely dreadful thought, depending on how we're living, depending on how we're thinking, depending on what's going on in our hearts. For the omnipresence of God is so great that He not only is with us at all times. Verse 3, Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. God is always around every one of us. He knows every time, verse 2, you have sat down. He counts them. He knows every time you have stood up. Thy down sitting and thine uprising. He understands your thoughts afar off. You have never uttered a word in verse 4, but that God knew and heard that word that you have uttered. Isn't that something? I don't know all the Greek and all the Hebrew and everything, but I was hearing some guy that does know it recently preaching. And he was talking about the verses where it says God has the hairs on our head all numbered. And he said, most of us think that he can give us a general number of how many hairs that we have on our head. You know, this person's got 125,000 and so on and so forth. But this scholar, and I don't know if he knows what he's talking about or not, he said that that's not what the word numbered means. What the word numbered means from the word means that he looks at your head and says, this hair is number one. This hair on your head is number two. This hair on your head is number three. This hair on your head is number four. And number five. And so that's what it means when the Bible says God has all of the hairs of your head numbered. See, God is omnipresent. This psalm is an amazing, amazing illustration of the omnipresence of God. Verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. And David has to finally confess here in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is high. And then we speak about the omnipresence in general terms in verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I fly way out and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, there I am. I became a little bit familiar with the story of Louis Zamperini recently, and he was stranded in a lifeboat for 47 days when his plane went down during World War II, him and two other soldiers. One of them died. The other one lived, and they were found by the Japanese and then tortured, you know. But while he was out there, 47 days on a life raft, he said, Lord God, if you ever get me out of this, I'll give the rest of my life to you. And the Lord heard his prayer and the Lord heard his commitment and did save him. And he went through a lot of other stuff. And you may have heard of the movie made about him called Unbroken. Sure enough, when the war was over, he gave the rest of his life to the Lord. Came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, and everywhere he just died last year, he was in his 90s, he served the Lord and told others about Christ. So even when he was way out in the sea by himself praying, God was there. God is omnipresent, and you and I have to understand that that is one of the divine connections every one of us in this room has, and every human being universally has. That God is connected to every single human being universally at all times, both outwardly, seeing them outwardly and understanding their thoughts, understanding their heart. And this omnipresence of God began in our mother's womb. In our mother's womb. God attached himself to you in your mother's womb. And he began to form you in your mother's womb. And there's other verses of scripture that says he continued to form our bodies all the time we grew. Not only do we have this testimony here of this great connection, life. Number one, life connects us to the omnipresence of God, but there's so many other verses that teach us this. And I think we're failing to see this. I think if we believe this more, we'd have more fear of God, more knowledge of his presence. We'd practice what's called the presence of God. In Job 34, in verse number 21 and 22, it says, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness, nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. Even those in sin cannot hide themselves from the presence of the Lord. Proverbs 5:21 says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I mean, there's times where I've forgotten this, and I thought, nobody sees me. And you begin to think thoughts. You begin to peep at things you shouldn't peep at. Begin to listen to things you shouldn't listen to. Because you say, well, no humans around. Nobody sees me do this. But God's there. God is there. In Jeremiah 16 and verse 17, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. Now imagine that. Over and over again, he says that. Jeremiah 23, verse number 24. It says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. Even in the New Testament, we have this doctrine of the omnipresence of Christ taught in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The scripture even goes so far as to say it is not possible for one single bird to fall to the ground without God seeing that bird. So, brethren, when you were conceived, you were connected to the omnipresence of God, and he understands it all. And therefore, it is foolish for us to think that God doesn't see us or doesn't hear us or no, he makes notes of our words. He understands our thoughts afar off. He is a discerner even of the thoughts and the intents, the motivations of our heart. He's omnipresent. Job said this again. This is a different portion of Job. He talked about the foolishness of how man's thinking is not in line with the omnipresence of God. In Job 24:13, it says, they are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The murderer, rising with the light, killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through houses, which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know of them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. It talks about murderers and thieves and adulterers, how they just can't wait for the night because they think nobody's going to see me. And they love the night and they hate, they despise. It's like the shadow of death when daytime comes. In a spiritual way, Jesus said in John 3:19, men love darkness rather than light. Now, because God knows everything about us and sees everything and hears everything we say, everything we've ever thought, every intention of our heart, he is fit to judge us. He is fit to judge us. He has all the evidence. And that's why it says in Jeremiah 32, and verse number 19, Jeremiah 32:19. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So this number one here can be a tremendous blessing to us. To know, hey, praise God, I'm never alone. God is always with me. It can be a great blessing, tremendous blessing to us. As our Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We can practice the presence, the omnipresence, rather, of God. That can be a great blessing to us. Praise the Lord, no matter what I go through, God is with me. Or it can be very dreadful, depending on how we're living. For the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Life connects us with the omnipresence of God. I want to say something else now, number two. If you'll turn to Psalm 147, we see something else about God. He is not only omnipresent, but he is also omniscient. God is also omniscient. That means he is all-knowing. Verse 5 says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. That speaks now of the omniscience of God. And I want to say, second of all, the Bible connects us to the omniscience of God. Life connects us to the omnipresence of God. The Bible connects us to the omniscience of God. The Bible is the Word of God. It is God-breathed. It was spoken to us, every single word of it, from Genesis 1:1, Revelation 22:21, was spoken by the Holy Spirit, written down by holy men of God, but it's the Word of God, and it connects us. It gives us our second divine connection, and that is to the omniscience of God. The Bible, more than any book on earth, begins to connect us to the omniscience of God, to the God whose understanding is infinite, so that we will learn things about God from the Bible we can never learn anyplace else. And we begin to discover, if we have a connection to the Bible, that the Bible is not only incredible, it is inexhaustible. And you can study it and study it and study it and study it and study it. And the older you get, the more and the more you study it, the more you begin to confess that you have seen that there is more to learn. It's so fascinating like that. It's kind of like some of these doctrinal books down here. You know, I heard about a man who wrote a book on a subject, and I think the first time he wrote it on or his commentary, that was what it was, a commentary on Ephesians. He taught it in 5 weeks. And then he revisited it 20 years later when he'd been in the ministry, and it took him 40-something weeks. And then towards the end of his ministry, he revisited the book of Ephesians again, and he taught it, and it took him 146 weeks. And back the first time he taught it, he thought he knew it all. And he got through it in 5 lessons with his church. Then he did about 40 lessons, and then at the end of his life, he did about 146 lessons. And that's just one book of the Bible. And that's how the Bible is. These doctrinal booklets I have down here at the bottom of the steps, I could write them about 5 times larger than they are right now, because I wrote them so many years ago. And I've learned so much more about every one of those doctrines since then. You see, the Bible and your connection to the Bible opens the door to God's omniscience. God's omniscience. His understanding is infinite. In Christ, Colossians 2:3, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's nothing that God doesn't know. Job said, who can teach God? What has God ever learned? He's never learned anything. He's always known it. His understanding is infinite. And you and I believe, begin our attachment to this omniscient God by our relationship with the Bible. And personally, I just feel that in all of eternity, we are going to be learning and learning and learning and learning things about God, and we'll just continue learning. And boy, is it should be humbling. What cracks me up is 1 Corinthians 8:1, when it says, knowledge puffeth up. And you see these people who go around with these big heads thinking they know everything. I love the humility of Thomas Edison. I wrote down this quote one time. He said these words. He said, we do not know 1/1000000th of 1% about anything. So Thomas Edison said. And that's right. I mean, if you took all of the sciences, and I don't even know what they are. They all start, you know, the anthropology and astrology and astronomy, and that's just the A's, and then you go to biology and botany and the B's and the C's and so on. You took all those sciences, all of them. There's sciences about things we didn't even know we needed sciences for. And somebody claims to be an expert in those sciences. How much do you know about all of those sciences? How much do I know about all those sciences? Sometimes I say to my wife, it's got to be humorous for God to watch me preach while I stand up here and try to pretend I know what I'm talking about. And thank God I have a book I can preach. I have a book I can preach from a God who doesn't know all that he's talking about. And so when it comes to all of the sciences and all of the different fields And you know, we think of music, and we've just barely scratched the surface of music. Wait till we get to heaven. We hear the music up there. God invented music. God invented all the laws of music before we ever discovered them. And biology, botany, whatever, you can study those things. Man, they've got people who are still studying just the human cell, and they keep discovering and discovering and discovering things just about one cell in your body. What a God. And the Bible connects us to the omniscience of God. It begins to show us things that no other book, no college, no university, no preacher can teach us. And he begins to show us things. You know, the amazing thing about God, he can even tell a wife and a mother how to do it right. Hey, think of that. He's an expert on it. And those of you that have a connection to the Bible, have a connection to God's omniscience, as long as you stay humble. For in Matthew 11, verse 15, one says, Jesus prayed. He said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. That means unto humble, hungry people. Babes. God will just reveal things to you and reveal things to you and reveal things. And there never comes a point where God cannot teach you something. It's a comforting thought for a preacher to know that God's never going to run out of material. If I can stay close to him, if I can try to be humble, he's never going to run out of material to give to me to try to preach to people. That's a blessing. Man alive. And the Bible and the author of the Bible opens that door for a divine connection regarding his omniscience. It says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, that's omniscience, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. But now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? That means in our connection to the Bible, our relationship with the Holy Spirit, it says, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. All means all, and that's all that it means. The Holy Spirit gets us into the Bible, and he begins to search the omniscience of God, the deep things of God, and then he shows them to us. He shows them to us. What a life. What a wonderful life, which the Holy Ghost teacheth. This is answer to prophecy. Jesus had prophesied earlier in John 14. He says, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to give you another comforter, and he shall teach you all things. All things. And so, my friends, tonight I want to encourage you to have a personal relationship with the Bible and with the Holy Spirit, because any answer you need to any question, God can show it to you in this book or through some principle in this book. God can show it to you. The Bible gives us a divine connection to God's omniscience. And then I want to say last of all tonight, prayer connects us to the omnipotence of God. Prayer connects us to the omnipotence of God. A third divine connection that you and I can have. Life, number one, has connected to us to his omnipresence. You're not going to get away from God. I don't know, I tried running from him. You know, he was down the road waiting for me. Kind of just like, all right, when's he going to get here? And I plowed right into him, full speed. You can't get away from God. Why even try? Why even try? Man, he was all over me everywhere I went. Didn't matter if I was in Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Liechtenstein, Italy, Japan, Korea, Arizona, South Carolina, no matter where I was stationed, when I was away from the Lord, he was there everywhere I went. Art, you still running? You know you can't outrun me. I just put the white flag up and surrendered finally. Life connects us to the omnipresence of God. You cannot get away from God. The Bible connects us to the omniscience of God. It begins to show us things God knows that you can't get out of any other book, that you can't get from any other teacher, the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden you start saying, wow, there are answers. You start getting answers. And then prayer connects us to the omnipotence of God. What does omnipotence mean? It's all powerful. All powerful. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says this, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Prayer. He said, you pray, and I'll take your little feeble prayer, and I'll answer it in such a huge way that you never thought it could have been answered. Because prayer connects us to the omnipotence of God. Do you pray? If we don't pray, you know, when we do what man does, we accomplish what man can accomplish. And it's pretty impressive sometimes. But boy, when we pray, that connects us to the omnipotence of God. And there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Paul told those at Ephesus these words in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in Christ, in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That means even today in 2016 in the church, God wants to be glorified by answering our prayers in a way that is beyond anything we can ask or even think that he can do. But we're not praying. We have not because we ask not. Or we're not meeting the conditions of prayer. You get things like faith. You got to have faith. You can't just pray to God and think, oh, I know you can't do this, but... No, James said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We got to be praying in the will of God. We got to be obeying his commandments and doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. And some of you got to have, we got to work on your marriage or your prayers will be hindered. You know, so study prayer and study the hindrances and work on getting the hindrances out of the way. And then just, the scripture says, just with faith is the grain of a mustard seed. We should be able to say to a mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and it be removed. Prayer connects us to the omnipotence of God. The Bible teaches the omnipotence of God. As early as Genesis 18 and verse 14, God asks Abraham this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And you know some of the tests that Abraham faced. It was impossible for man, but it's not too hard for the Lord. In Jeremiah 32 and verse number 17, Jeremiah 32:17, the Lord says this. Jeremiah declares this. He says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Later in the same chapter, verse 27, God says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me?" Matthew 19, 26, Jesus said, "With men this is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." All things are possible. Even in the Christmas story, they couldn't figure some of the things out in the Christmas story. But it says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And that's talking about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ through Mary. "For with God nothing shall be impossible." The problem is never with God. The problem is always with us. We are not connected to his omnipotence by prayer. We're giving lip service to prayer. We're not praying. The Lord said we could remove mountains in Matthew 17. And even some, you know, God has already allowed us to experience a little bit of his omnipotence in this glorious salvation that we have. Did you know it was impossible for you to save yourself? It's what the Bible says. In Matthew chapter 17, they were talking about salvation, and maybe it wasn't Matthew 17. But remember the disciples, they said to Jesus, you know, he said, you know, it's harder for a rich man to go to heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and they were listening to what he was saying, and they finally said what to him? "Who then can be saved? Who then can be saved?" And what did Jesus say? "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." So if you're here tonight and you're unsaved, I want to encourage you tonight to stop trying to save yourself. It is impossible. And trust in Christ as your Savior. He can save you from your sins. And everybody that is here tonight who is saved has already experienced through prayer a connection to the omnipotence of God when you called on the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him to save you, and he saved you. He did something you couldn't do. And God is omnipotent. What do you need? What's on your heart? What are you praying for? Why isn't it happening? Maybe we got to wait or something. Maybe there's a lesson in it, but God's trying to teach us something. Brethren, these are some of the most basic attributes of God tonight. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And you and I can have connections to this. We already do by life. We're connected to God's omnipresence. I think that will change some of our behavior if we just believe that. Change maybe some of our thought patterns. Maybe what we're looking at with our eyes or listening to with our ears if we just know, hey, God's here with me. God's here with me. I got to practice this. Ever since I was in the womb, God was with me. By the way, that should be a comforting thought to us, not a dreadful thought. It should be a comfort to us. God is with me. Praise the Lord. Never alone. But then your Bible. How are you doing with your Bible tonight? This book connects us to the omniscience of God. It begins to bring us into the presence of a God that knows everything. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The Bible can show us the answer to life's questions. God is knowable. God is knowable. He's knowable. And then prayer connects us to the omnipotence of God. He's all powerful. Wow, I wish we believed that. I wish we believed he could save anybody we're praying for. He could meet any need we're praying for. He could change any circumstance we're praying about if it's in his will. Man, what could he do? He could help our country again. He could help our country. He could help you. He could help your marriage. He could help a situation that looks hopeless and helpless. He could help it. But are we praying? I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes for prayer just to, as we think about these things tonight. Certainly want to, before the Lord's Supper, have a time of self-examination as we do every month as we participate in this ordinance. God is everywhere, so we might as well just confess that. And maybe tonight, before we have the Lord's Supper, we're just going to have to say, well, it kind of slipped my mind that God had heard my words this week. He saw every thought. He understood every thought of my heart afar off. He knows the intents, the motivations of my heart. He's seen my behavior. And I just need to go to the Lord. And as it says in this text here on the Lord's Supper, it says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged of the Lord, we are chastened of the Lord. How? Some are weak, some are sick, some die. Maybe tonight some weakness or perpetual sickness or something in you is God's calling you to get closer to Him. We got to judge ourselves. But praise the Lord, when we're judged or we judge ourselves, we'll never be judged. So I want to encourage you just to take a few moments, and many of you have already done this, but if not, just confess to the Lord. He knows everything anyways. That's something. And He's not some dreadful tyrant that's ready to beat you down with a club. He's a loving God that's ready to lift you up and help you. And He's able to present us faultless and keep us from falling. Man, that's His omnipotence. That's His power. So let's just pray for a few minutes, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper.